Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley, your host of the number one motivational show on the planet. And hey, we got a great interview for you today. Every now and again, like I tell you, I bring in a special guest into the Every Day is Saturday community, somebody I feel you can really benefit from and going to knock your socks off too at the same time. So with that being said, got a good friend that I've reconnected with after a few years. He's got a very, very powerful story that I want him to share with you, Mr. Dennis Cummins. Dennis, you on the line?
Awesome. Hey, Sam, thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no worries, man. No worries. Last time I saw you, we were at an event together, and you were running this thing, which felt like it was going on for about 2 weeks, and I presented for all of about 90 minutes, and it was a magical weekend, man. We're having a conversation off the air about just when you get a bunch of entrepreneurs together and they've got a dream and a vision, man. Isn't it something amazing? Remember that weekend we were together?
It is always cool to have. You know, my favorite thing about that is, you know, yes, leading the event and getting to connect with, you know, we had a lot of people up speaking, and I just really enjoyed your style up there. And what's great for me is that when I do things like that, it's getting to meet people like you, like the movers and the shakers, and, you know, because that's who I want to hang out with. Yeah. You know, the people that make a difference, those are the people that if you surround yourself with, then things start to happen.
I'd be careful. You tell too many people you actually want to hang around Sam Crowley, your career is going down faster than you can imagine, man. But I appreciate the compliment. So
no sweat.
Hey, I want to talk a lot. We are reconnecting for a reason, and it's because you've had some life-altering events going on, and it's really wild, man. It's powerful. It's emotional. It's a great message that you're delivering. You have a brand new book that you wrote titled Turning Terrible into Terrific. And please remind me at the end of this podcast how people can plug into you, your message, the book. But what is the story, Dennis, behind Turning Terrible into Terrific?
Sure. I'll go back to the idea that started this all. And you know, I have, you and I have talked, Sam, but I'll share this with everybody else. I have I have two amazing children. I have an 18-year-old son, Christopher, getting ready to head off to college this year, and a 16-year-old daughter, Lauren, who's having some tough times. She's going through some serious medical challenges and has been for her basically almost her entire life. And during one of these challenges about 5 years ago, we were in the hospital. Lauren had a brain tumor, and we were in the hospital for a surgery, and it was a big deal. We had tried multiple courses of chemotherapy, and, you know, I'd taken Lauren all around the world to see different types of healers to do what we could, but it got to the point where surgery was the only option left. And the doctors were, you know, listen, you know, because of where this is, you know, if everything goes great, the surgery should be 4 hours. When she wakes up, it'd be a couple of weeks of rehab, and you'll be able to take her home. If it goes great. And if it didn't go great, they weren't sure if she'd be able to speak because it was near a speech center. They weren't sure if she would remember us. They really weren't sure if she'd wake up. Mm. But as it turns out, she did wake up, she could talk, and she did remember us. You know, she had some physical challenges afterwards. But I wanted, you know, what was supposed to be one surgery and, you know, a couple weeks of rehab turned into 22 surgeries and 6 months inpatient. Wow. You know, things didn't go well. But what I want to tell you about is just the first surgery, you know, because she went through her first surgery and we were in the ICU the entire intensive care unit for about 5 days. And after, you know, my wife and I there 24/7, 5 days. And, you know, the last night my wife was just kind of getting a little tired. We both were, to be fair. And, you know, I convinced her to go up, and she stayed at the place called Ronald McDonald House to get some rest. The next morning I wake up, you know, bleary-eyed. You know, I don't know, Sam. I don't know if you've been in hospitals much, but they're pretty crappy places to live. You know, you got hard chairs, crappy food. You know, I'm in this intensive care unit with four other kids, and each one's got multiple IV pumps, one of which is alarming at any time during a 24-hour period. You know, nurses and doctors are coming in to check vitals every 10 minutes. You know, I got my daughter next to me with these IVs and catheters, like putting fluid in and taking fluid out. And, you know, and then there's just the stress of seeing my little baby girl all bandaged up with her swollen face there. And so the fifth day rolls around, and I just got to go shower. So I go out to go to the shower room, but this nurse asks me to just wait at the door. And she's like, you know, can you just wait? We need to bring a patient by. So I'm like, yeah, all right, you know, I've been here 5 days. They never asked me that before. So, you know, Dr. Dennis is trying to, you know, be cool and figure out the medical reason why that would be necessary.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, maybe they're infectious, or maybe they're bleeding, or maybe there's like a psychosis thing going on. You know, so I'm rattling off in my mind all these reasons why I can't go in the hallway and take a shower. And then they wheeled the patient by, and I realized that, you know, all of my guesses were wrong. And, you know, judging by the size of the child, I'm going to guess they're probably right around the same age as Lauren, but it was hard to tell because the child was covered with a white sheet. They had died during the night. Mm. And in that instant, Sam, you know, a couple things happened. I mean, literally, in one instant, I said a prayer for the soul of that child and their family. And in that instant, I decided to become incredibly grateful for the hard bed, the crappy food, the alarms, the pumps, the catheters, right, the IVs, the pokes, the prods, the doctors, and most of all for my daughter, and really for everything in my life. And, you know, and I didn't, the book idea, you know, the thought turning terrible at the cervix didn't happen then, but, you know, about 3 weeks later, I kind of gave it some thought, and I realized, you know what, I've had other challenges in my life, you know, medical, relationship, financial, health-wise, just like everybody does. But I always knew there was a way out, and I always found that way out. I always saw that light at the end of the tunnel. And I kind of thought, like, well, what did I do that like, makes me think like that while other people get stuck in the dumper all the time? And what I did is I kind of reverse-engineered that success and wrote down the steps, because they're simple, duplicatable, predictable steps that you take. And if you do that, you can turn terrible into terrific. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be terrible either. You know, maybe your life is good, but you want it to be great. It's the same steps. If it's crappy and you want happy, it's the same steps. If it's mediocre and you want master, it's the same steps. And that's what this book is about. It's like the how-to manual for a better life.
Did you, when you were writing the book, did you start thinking about, I want this to be a personal development book, I want to speak to fathers, I want to speak to mothers, I want to speak to a certain segment, or was it more of a general, no matter what you're going through right now? Who's the audience you were speaking to when you were writing the book?
The audience are people who are striving for more, people who feel hopeless, you know, or people who aren't sure how to get to the next level. Because, when you know, and really, this was like a mission of love. You know, like the thing that I love to do, Sam, and you and I talk about it, you know, I love training. I love teaching.
Right.
This book isn't about training. It's not about teaching. This is about changing a life, you know, giving somebody a chance to figure out how to help themselves. This was something I had to write. You know, I just felt compelled to, because I had been in the hospital with other kids who were suffering. I've been in rooms with people who are struggling financially. You know, as a chiropractor, I see people all the time who don't know how they're going to turn their health around. You know, and you can't do it for them. They have to do it for themselves, but they just don't know how. And that's why I wrote this.
So take us back to that point in time when you were starting to become grateful for the crappy food and the hard chairs and all the stuff that was going on. What was Lauren, what was her outlook on life? What was she communicating with you as to, was she afraid? Was she mad? What were her emotions at the time?
You know what? I have to say, Sam, I've been blessed with one amazing, amazing daughter. You know, throughout all of this, I think we were in the hospital for 6 months. I can only remember her, and it wasn't even complaining. She would moan because she was in so much pain. At one point, she got an infection in her abdomen, and it was so painful to move that just moving would cause her pain, and she would moan a little. That was the only time I heard her complain in 6 months.
Wow.
And I'm like, if this little girl can go through like 21, 22 surgeries, all of this, having this being poked and prod and having blood drawn, and like never complain once, I was like, dude, I have no right to ever complain about anything.
Yeah, no kidding. What is it again? Take us back. What is it that you do in your real life, Dennis? When you're not superhero dad and author, what is it that you do for a living?
Well, you know what? Well, I am a chiropractor. I have two chiropractic offices in New York, so I manage and work in them part-time. But primarily, I travel and teach. I'm a trainer, you know, public speaker, and I teach professional trainers how to, professional and novice trainers, you know, you got a message, and I think everybody does. I teach them how to communicate that more effectively. I think everybody's got a gift to share. Everybody's got a story to tell, but they either don't have the confidence or the skill to teach their story. So, you know, if you want to know what I do, what my passion is, that's it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, look, it sounds like you're a walking trainer. I mean, based on the challenges that have been thrown your way, your wife's way. I know you have a son as well. What's the family dynamics at work? And look, you can be as real as you want to be with us, but I can imagine my wife and I being in a hospital for 6 months. It would be a challenge because, first of all, you're looking at a child who it's just sick, makes you sick to death that they got to be in the hospital for an hour, let alone 6 months. And then, you know, do you ever feel, is there any tension? How does a family go through that together?
Oh, there's a lot of tension. And I think, I think realizing that, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You know, I shared this with you earlier. So, you know, Lauren's going through some, you know, she's going through some very serious medical challenges right now. About as serious as it gets. And, I'm driving home in the car and, you know, it's, you know, I'm like, you know, dude, I'm the author of Turning Terrible into Terrific. And I'm having a real tough time finding anything terrific about this. And there's no way that, you know, those emotions can't spill over into relationships. So, you know, is there some short-temperedness? There is, you know, but I think, you know, we both, you know, you blow up, you snap at one another a little bit. And I think, you know, it's just human nature. You know, we're not perfect.
Right.
We're just human beings, you know, and you just have to be that. But what we do know is that we do love each other, and we do know that eventually we're going to work through this. So, you know what? Listen, we'll blow it up at each other. My wife and I will snap at each other, and, you know, and then we'll say, listen, we're on the same team, and let's, we both realize what we're going through. And I think that understanding is part of it. And the other part is, you know, you got to talk about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a guy, I have to be fair. I'm not the best at talking about stuff. You know, I'm the guy that kind of bottles it up a bit. You know, ladies are there. I think, you know, in general, at least in my house, you know, my wife's definitely more willing to talk about stuff. I'm more like, you know, all right, what's got to get done, and let me do something.
Yeah. You know, it's a challenge, dude. You know, it's funny, not to put this, I'm not even comparing anybody to anybody, but I was following Jim Kelly, the NFL quarterback, only because I'm from Buffalo, and the challenges that he's gone through with, you know, cancer and trying to go through rehabilitation. And I follow his wife on Twitter and Facebook, and they have a lot of people in the cancer part of the hospital that they have met that have impacted their lives that they never would have met. I don't know if you want to call it a blessing. I guess that's what they would refer to it as. But this question is for you, Dennis, in the sense that through all these trials and tribulations, is there any one person, one event, one instance that stood out to you as like, damn, that was impactful. That person, whether they made it through or didn't make it through, is there anybody that's had a tremendous impact on your life, or maybe somebody in the healthcare industry that you met that was, you were just amazed by?
I'll tell you, Sam, the person that amazes me the most is my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about somebody that's made an impact, and trying to find the blessing in something that's really not a great situation. I have learned more from taking care of her and watching her than I learned in my entire adult life. you know, despite everything that she's going through, if she walks up to you, now, this girl is like a happiness vending machine. I swear, you squeeze her and, like, you know, rainbows come out of her ass. It's wow. Unbelievable. But, you know, you ask her how she's doing, and she says, yeah, I'm HPH. And she'll tell you that that stands for happy, positive, and healthy. And she just goes through life with this positive outlook. You know, no, and we have met some of the most incredible, talented, expert professional surgeons. We have met some of the most top-notch, highly skilled nurses, some of the most caring therapists on the planet. You know, we have aides that work in our house that literally have become like children to my wife and I, that we love as if they're our own. And just seeing the outpouring of emotion and the way people come together when there's something to care about that means something is just unbelievable. It's really incredible. Really brings home the importance of, like, family and friends.
Yeah, I bet, man. It's just circumstances like that happen, and it's just I've never been through anything you've been through. So we're talking off air again. We chatted for 10 minutes today. I just wanted to get ready for the call, and I was like, I don't know if I could do it, man. I don't know. By the way, it's Sam Crowley. Just a quick station identification. Every Day is Saturday podcast, talking to my buddy Dennis Cummins, trainer, speaker, seminar leader, father to Lauren, his amazing daughter, who's been dealt a pretty serious hand in life. And as a father of three girls myself, I was chatting with Dennis, as I said earlier today, and I don't know, man, like I was telling you, I'd be punching the steering wheel, the windshield, and I'd be mother effing a lot of different things, thinking, why me? I mean, I've lived a good life. I didn't do anything wrong, didn't do any hard drugs, didn't commit any crimes, and I got to deal with this, and my daughter's got to deal with this. Christ, at least give it to me. You know, I mean, those are the thoughts. Just I'm thinking out loud the natural just kind of rage that I'd be in. But then again, I've never been in that situation, so I guess I don't know for sure. But you ever let yourself go there? I know you talked about driving home, being alone in the car and things like that. But the terrible part about turning terrible, do you ever snap out of it and say, well, I'm not Lauren. Lauren's the one going through this. Or do you allow yourself to say, what's up, man? Why us? I mean, we're not a bad family. Why has this happened to us?
Oh, yeah, believe me, that thought's gone through our head plenty of times. I think part of it is, you know, Lauren's been going through stuff since she's 2 years old. So, you know, after 14 years, you know, you go through those stages of grief, you know, the anger and the denial are in the beginning. You know, for us, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so you eventually you get to a level of acceptance. And then what happens is, you know, as, you know, you go from, well, you know, you hear about this first diagnosis of a tumor and, you know, you go through all these steps and then, you know, but then that gets taken care of and then you get another tumor. So you go through them again and now you got this. And so every time you go through it, that process seems to speed up your ability to do it. It's almost, you know, as much as it sucks, it's like learning a new skill.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, this skill is kind of handling crap, handling something or, you know, a really rotten situation.
Do you and your wife ever allow yourselves to think of what could happen if the worst could happen?
Yeah, we do.
What are those days like?
You know, I mentioned this to you earlier. You know, there's times when I can talk about it, like we are right now, which, you know, it's not a wonderful conversation. But, Sam, there's times when I just can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know, there's times when you just can't. I can't even get a word out. I go to tell somebody, and I literally am just sobbing on the phone, asking them to just hold on a second till I can compose myself just enough to speak again.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're not
and
that kind of guy. I mean, you're not a guy full of drama. I mean, those are real thoughts, real emotions. I ask those questions because I get emails from listeners and individuals that are going through some of the hardest challenges that life has to throw at them. I mean, look, Every Day is Saturday is a nice concept, and it is rainbows and sunshine, but there's a reality to life too. And you know, I don't know, man, I keep thinking of the situation you're in, and I give you all the credit in the world and your amazing wife. And I know your son as well. It's just,
yeah, my son had a unique perspective. I think it's great. And I think we all do it. And I asked him how he was doing. You know, I said, Chris, how are you doing with all this? And he said, you know, Dad, he goes, I think where I am is in a place of intentional denial. He goes, I know what's going on, and I know it's not good, but I don't want to focus it on it every day because I don't want to ruin me being happy for her and us being happy together. And I was like, son of a gun,
right.
That's a freaking really smart thing from an 18-year-old kid, you know?
No. They surprise you sometimes.
They do. do. And, I think that's it. You know, a lot of the days it's just intentional denial. You know what? She's great today. She feels great, which is wonderful. And so, you know, if you didn't know, you could almost pretend everything's okay. And sometimes we do pretend because it's easier that way,
yeah.
And it allows us to really enjoy the moment. And let me tell you something, we are sucking the life out of every single moment these days.
Talk about that for a second. What are days like now versus, and I'm not saying you took a day for granted 10 years ago, but what do you mean by sucking the life out of each day? What's that mean?
Well, you know what, like, especially with the time we spend with her, you really start to appreciate it. So, you know, things like, you know, we all have kids. A lot of us have kids. I know you do and I do. There are times when the girls, you know, yeah, every day is Saturday, great. Yeah, and until the girls ask you the same question for the 42nd time and you're like, fine, you know what, later, or you know what, I'm working on my podcast now. I can't do that, right?
You just turned it into a Monday, honey.
But, you know, now it's sort of like, you know, she wants to do something, I'll put whatever I'm doing aside, and she's it.
Yeah.
You know, and you make those moments count. Now, even that, even with everything that's going on, there's still times when, you know, we'll still snap at her because she's not behaving, and we're still treating her like a normal kid. But we really try to, you know, I think we even now, more than ever, go out of our ways to be there for her, whatever she needs, whenever she needs it. And it really makes you think about, well, geez, why don't I do that every day? Why don't I make my kids a priority all the time? Like, what am I really making more important than my family?
Right.
And, it makes you go,
Yeah, it sure does, man. And you never want to have something like this make you go, but most of the time that's what it takes. And Your book launches July 19th, and 100% of the proceeds are being donated to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That is correct.
Why'd you pick July 19th for the book launch, Dennis?
July 19th is the day that we are having Lauren's Sweet 16 birthday party. Her birthday is actually in March, but we're celebrating it this Saturday, July 19th. And I wanted to schedule the book launch on her birthday because she was the inspiration for the book. If, you know, when you get a copy of the book, the back cover is a picture of she and I. And we've had an amazing relationship because I've been the one kind of doing all the her, you know, bringing her through all of her real medical care and stuff. And I wanted to be able, like, as a gift to her on her birthday, to let her know that, you know, she was a part of creating, like, something amazing, like creating this bestseller and creating, you know, and helping to grant wishes for other kids, which she always loves to give and help back other people. So it had a special meaning for me, which is why I picked a day. And, you know, as I mentioned to you, well, the email that you didn't get from me earlier, I said, and, you know, as it just so happens, the July 19th is a Saturday.
Right. You know, I just I was checking. I just saw a forwarded email coming in from you. So, yeah, I think that's the one I missed. But I'll get the message out right. It'll take me about 6 months before I finally get your message out right. But don't worry. Hey, let me ask you a question. How can people get a copy of the book?
Here's what people can do. We have some amazing bonuses for people that participate in our book launch. Like you said, 100% of everything we earn through this is going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. If they want to get the bonuses, they need to register in advance at tttlaunch.com. It's the launch website. If they just enter their name and email, that way we'll know that when after the book launch, we can send them a bunch of bonuses. At the very least, I'm asking everybody to hit amazon.com on Saturday the 19th. Around 12 o'clock Eastern time, between 12 and 3 p.m. Eastern time, and just get one copy of the book. If everybody does that, maybe tell some of your friends, have them do the same thing. We'll hit the bestseller list. It'll kind of generate its own excitement, increasing the sales and generating more money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And that's what I'm hoping everybody does.
So TTT as in turning terrible into terrific.
Well, that would be TTIT. Terrible to terrific would be TTT.
It's a good thing I'm not hosting this show alone, man. Terrible to
terrific.
That's
all right.
Please.
Terrible to terrific launch. TTTlaunch.com. That's where they can register. That way they'll get bonuses. But if they don't want the bonuses, that's okay. I would still love them to get a book, and they can just get that at Amazon.com on Saturday the 19th.
Saturday the 19th, author Dennis Cummins of Turning Terrible into
terrific. Hey, Dennis, it's been great catching up with you, man. You know, I say this all the time to individuals where we get together at situations where it wasn't like we just picked up the phone and said, hey, you know. I'm glad we reconnected. I'm not happy about what life's been thrown at you and your daughter and your family, but you'll find a way, man. I don't have any words of wisdom. I very rarely. I'm not a silver-tongued devil, but I feel you, man. As a father of three girls, I give you all the credit in the world because I honestly don't know what I would do in that situation. I just don't know, you know.
And Sam, I'm just going to leave this thought for, you know, for the people that are listening to the podcast, and it's something that I say. You know, turning terrible into terrific isn't about having everything terrific. Like, a lot of times we're surrounded by a lot of things that are not going right. The challenge is to look through all the things that aren't going right and find the one thing that is and keep your focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, people tend to focus on all the bad things. You know, yeah, this is bad. It's really bad. But Lauren's a beautiful, happy child. And if I focus on that every day, that makes things a little bit better.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Simple message. Powerful message. Dennis, hey, it's been great catching up with you, and we'll stay in touch, man. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I'm happy to help you get as many of these copies out the door as possible. It's for a great cause at Make-A-Wish Foundation, and stay strong, brother.
Thank you, Sam. You have my gratitude, and I love you. Thanks.
Thanks, Dennis. Everybody else, Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.